We head to La Crosse on Wisconsin's scenic western border overlooking the Mississippi. In our next stop, meeting mayors from all over the state here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. La Crosse is home to more than 52,000 residents as of the latest census figures. Its population growing by about 1,300 people over the decade since the 2010 census. And it has the tri-state views with the Mississippi River Valley below. What speaks to you about La Crosse? What challenges have you encountered with housing or work living in the area? 800-642-1234. Mitch Reynolds has been the mayor of La Crosse since April. Mayor Reynolds, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks, Kate. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Well, let's start with geography first. La Crosse being this unique city that shares a border with Minnesota, do you feel that the city has to compete with Minnesota for jobs or residents?
Well, not really. No. I think we're, I don't know how, if we look at La Crosse as kind of this regional center, then we certainly have people who live across the border who come into La Crosse to work. La Crosse is, it's an urban core of this lightly populated area in southwest Wisconsin. And so certainly there are people that come from La Crescent or from, which is in Minnesota, or a couple of other small villages or towns over there. But for the most part, folks are coming here to work.
That's what I found, too. Economists call it a contained economy when the vast majority of people who live in a county work there. And I looked up La Crosse, given your location. I was curious. The Economic Development Corporation data from 2019 showed it up there around 80-90% of the county residents work in the county. But what about the city? You know, people coming to the city to live, work, and spend. Is that something you grapple with?
People living in the city to do that?
Yes.
You know, I think the one of the key challenges that we have is having housing for for folks who want to live here. And that's a challenge that small or even large urban areas around the United States are having and have had for many years, actually. And we're struggling with that now. There's no question. And that's why it's super exciting that we are in a time when we have so many housing units that are in the stage of development planning or construction. And it's a tremendous growth right now. We're just at the beginning of it. So it's really exciting to see what that's going to mean for the city over the next 5 or 6 years. So I'm really thrilled about that. When we look at the 22,000 or so homes we have in the city of La Crosse, over the next, you know, probably 5 years, we're looking at 1,500 additional homes that we're adding to the city, you know, within the city borders. So that's about, you know, 6-7% increase, which is a really big increase for this city. In fact, I think what I understand, if I was getting the right information, somebody told me that this is the largest surge of housing development within the city of La Crosse since after World War II.
Wow, that's remarkable. Is it a mix of housing, housing at all different types of levels?
Yes.
What do you see there?
Absolutely. Yeah, we definitely have a focus on affordable housing, but we are also, we're looking for development of all housing because we have homes that could be affordable, but because we have such a shortage of available homes, it increases the demand on the tight supply that we have and therefore driving up the rental rates or the purchase prices that are within our community. So one of my strategies which I think is going to be very effective is just to basically the market strategy of increasing supply. And yeah, we'll more people will come and live here, but we'll also take the pressure off this rental market and this housing market in general so that more homes become affordable, even if we're not adding just a pile of affordable homes. Now, we do have a number of affordable home developments that are coming online, and we're really focused on those. But there's, you know, we're looking at trying to add just all homes, just a lot of homes. That's all I'm really focused on.
We're talking with Mitch Reynolds, mayor of La Crosse, in conversation with municipal leaders across our state as part of a series to get at the heart of local government issues. You can join in. Do you live in La Crosse or the area? What issues would you like your mayor to work on? What questions do you have about how the city operates. 800-642-1234. Let's look at the issue of homelessness. This is something, as mayor, you've been really pledging to work on. Where are you on this front?
Yeah, we have spent a significant amount of time and effort on developing strategies and actually doing some work to help those who are unsheltered in our community. And it's just an enormous number of people. It's so many more than we saw prior to the pandemic here in La Crosse. We had somebody who was telling me that we have maybe twice as many. So our latest pit count, I think, was just completed on the 26th, a point in time count. And I think we're looking at 160 folks who are unsheltered in this community. And that means the folks that we've had placed in an emergency winter shelter at a hotel on the north side of La Crosse.
Econo Lodge. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Econo Lodge, right. That's folks that are at the Salvation Army in shelter, folks at the Catholic Charities Warming Center in shelter. Those are folks that are, there's no places for them, and they wind up kind of bedding down in our parking ramps. It's a big number, and so that's a big challenge. We do have we're working with the county for planning ahead for developing some bridge housing for our community. There seems to be a universal understanding among our private service providers that bridge housing is something that we're lacking here in our community, and that would help especially with those individuals facing extremely high barriers to housing and really finding a path forward for them. That's the thing that we're working on in the next couple of years. For the spring, people are going to leave the Econo Lodge, our winter emergency shelter, and they're going to need some housing. So we're putting together what we're calling temporary bridge housing. So it'll be bridge homes is what we're calling them, small homes. And we'll be providing case management there to get folks into permanent housing, but at least having them have a stable level of housing in between now and then.
You've also been working with La Crosse County. You had this meeting in December coming together to potentially buy a downtown building as a long-term way to address homelessness. What is the status of that?
Right. Well, that fell through. That didn't go well. So we found it was a building and a large lot. And that was really the part that really was the most intriguing for us, because when we put up a bridge housing, it's going to be a congregate style housing with facilities for delivery of services. And so we looked at this building. It's basically right across the street from City Hall, and made an offer on it. And well, somebody else thought that that was not a good place for that, so came in and bought it before we could. But that's okay. We've got a different path forward, and we're looking for we're developing other strategies. So that did not work out, though.
The city also recently hired a homeless services coordinator. Is that right?
Right.
How is that going?
Good so far. This is the first time we've never had this position, and so. Mm-hmm. There is a really steep learning curve for someone filling that position. This is someone that we wanted. What I was looking for was someone who would be able to take all of our resources in our community, because we have a lot of resources to draw from, and coordinate those. Be basically our program manager for homelessness in the city of La Crosse. And so far, it's a lot of building relationships at this point, and understanding what all the resources are and how we can best utilize those, and developing strategies. But I like the progress we're making so far. I think it was the right move, and I believe we're going to see some really good impacts from this in the years coming forward.
La Crosse Mayor Mitch Reynolds explaining the issues he takes on in his community on the western border. Are you a UW La Crosse grad? Where did that take you? Do you appreciate the La Crosse music scene or the upcoming La Crosse Winter Roots Festival? What challenges does the city face? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Mayor Mitch Reynolds here on the Ideas Network. We're meeting up with mayors from all over Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Today it is La Crosse, home to Granddad Bluff, with an expansive view of the city and the Mississippi River. What questions do you have about the environment, specifically how it's tackling PFAS contamination and well testing? What should cities do to address these environmental issues? 800-642-1234. La Crosse Mayor Mitch Reynolds with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's bring on a caller now. John is joining us from La Crosse. Hi, John.
Hi.
How about your city?
Sure. So I live in La Crosse, and I appreciate the discussion about affordable housing that Mayor Reynolds is discussing. Just wanted to get his opinion on how the relatively high property tax rate in La Crosse actually plays into that conversation.
John, thank you. Mayor Reynolds.
Yeah, thanks for that. And we do have I agree with John, a relatively high property tax rate. One of the reasons that is the case is that we have our housing stock is overall is somewhat dilapidated. And so the values of our housing is, or the value of our housing individually is not great. I think our median house value is something like $148,000 or something like that. And so what we have is the burden for services for this community is on the back of folks who live in housing in homes that don't have a terribly high value. And so the levy rate tends to be higher because the amount of property taxes that come from those homes is less. So it is, that's a challenge. But one of the things that was identified as a solution for that many years ago through a comprehensive study of housing within our city and our larger community is to simply to develop more new homes, which is something that, again, that I talked about.
Is underway.
And that's underway. For so long, we really focused on commercial property, and we wound up with a overabundance of commercial property and not enough new homes. And by developing those new homes, we increase our property tax base overall and should therefore decrease the levy and thus creating some level of property tax relief.
John, thanks for the question. Thanks for calling in. Let's move on to the environment. The city has had to shut down 2 of its wells that were contaminated with PFAS, forever chemicals, from firefighting foam used at the airport. What is the city considering doing to remedy this issue?
That's great. I just actually had a meeting. We do a monthly meeting with stakeholders on this issue with French Island. So we meet with the town of Campbell leaders and with members from the La Crosse County Board and the DNR and DHS and USGS. And there's probably others, but I can't remember who they are right now. So we meet every month to discuss strategies and moving forward. And obviously we were one of the first that started down this road, but a number of other communities around the state of Wisconsin and of course around the nation are tackling this as well. But what we're looking at right now is this, you know, it sounds relatively simple, but it's going to take some work, is simply supplying water through a municipal water supply to town of Campbell residents who don't have a municipal water supply at this point, not comprehensive anyway. So that's what we're going to be negotiating over in the immediate future with the town of Campbell. Those negotiations have begun. Not sure what that's going to look like, but that's going to be what we're going to do with that. In terms of remediation at our wells, that's something that's on a conversation that's ongoing. One of the things that we're relying on is, you know, this is an expensive process.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're anticipating that there'll be funding that we'll be able to access through the infrastructure bill that was passed recently and be able to really find ways to be able to bring those our wells back online. And also, make sure that we're protecting the rest of our water supply. Like you said, the PFAS chemicals are—they're forever chemicals. They're everywhere. They're in the Mississippi River. They're in our landfills. They're simply everywhere. And so we want to make sure that we're protecting all of our water supply. And that's going to be something that we're going to be strategizing with, hopefully, the use of these infrastructure dollars. We're also looking at that with our development or the upgrades to our wastewater treatment plant. We're looking at ways to keep PFAS out of effluent from that wastewater treatment plant, which is, you know, something that a wonderful way that we're looking forward, because these aren't even chemicals that are, there's not a, the DNR doesn't require a permit for those. And so we're looking at ahead at when we will have to remove these from our effluents. So that's something that we're working on right now. That's a major upgrade to our wastewater treatment plant. It's actually my favorite project in La Crosse. Because not only because it's forward thinking in terms of sustainability and resiliency, but also because it's going to be completely self-contained. It's going to power itself from the waste that's digested there, which means it'll come completely off the grid and also create enough power to supply electricity to our municipal buildings that are nearby and also recharge our electric buses
Wow.
that are coming online next month. So it's probably the coolest public works program that I'll be involved in here, but
and
I really like that.
Just one here, quick follow-up on, sure. on PFAS. You know, that's really interesting that you have this regular group meeting with a diverse group of folks coming from different agencies and locales, but what input are you giving right now to the DNR that is looking at regulations? But I'm just wondering, what are your talks like with the DNR as they look to figure out what to do next about PFAS regulation?
Well, I think that they're taking something from the conversations that we've started here, because again, we were sort of at the tip of the spear on this one here in La Crosse, and they're utilizing those types of conversations to get input from other communities. What they're doing with that, I'm not entirely sure. We are doing, you know, we've had to, as we were determined to be the responsible party for the contamination from our airport. Mm. And so we've done a number of two different site investigations there. The last one was just completed a couple of weeks ago and is on the DNR website right now. But that is, I honestly don't know what their process is for digesting that information and coming up with a path forward.
Mm-hmm.
We're supplying, what we're paying for is the site investigation, the analysis, the data analysis, all the testing, all of that, developing all the maps that show the groundwater flow.
So you have the good data, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let me just quick reintroduce you, Mitch Reynolds, Mayor of La Crosse, who's we discuss pressing issues with city leaders all over Wisconsin. Let's bring in Joe now in La Crosse. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mitch. I just had a question, I guess, on the school district of La Crosse and how involved you are with, like, the school board and decisions that are being made around the decision to, it looks like the school district of La Crosse is looking to consolidate maybe some schools and close down some older schools. And how involved are you in that decision, and what are your thoughts on it, I guess?
Joe, thank you. Mayor.
Well, thanks for the call, Joe. I'm not involved in the school district decision-making, obviously a separate government entity. I've had conversations with the superintendent about the potential impacts of consolidating schools, but how the school district moves forward is entirely up to the school district. And I can weigh in, but I don't get a vote unless it goes to referendum. And then by living in the school district, I certainly do. But at this point, it's an ongoing conversation that I have with the school district, that my planning department has with the school district. There's differences of opinion about how consolidation could impact our city. And
is that due to declining enrollment?
Yeah, what they're looking at, and you know, you can have a conversation with the school district to get a better understanding of what their processes are. But they're looking at declining enrollment and the maintenance of older buildings and all the costs that are inherent there, which is very important. I place a really strong value on neighborhood schools, the ability to walk to school, to bike to school. And at some point, once we get to a level of consolidation that prohibits that I believe we lose something here in our city, but, we'll see how that works out. Again, I'm not part of that decision-making process.
Joe, thanks for the call. I want to land here in our just moments left. You have a Human Rights Commission, and I'm just wondering, yep. It meets regularly. What are its powers and duties?
It's an oversight board, and they do some advisory. They also evaluate housing complaints. The Human Rights Commission has been around for many years, and they're... they're active. I think that we could utilize the Human Rights Commission better, frankly, and that's something that we're working on. Part of what we put together a racial equity team in the city of La Crosse, so let's see, at the end of 2020, and we've expanded that racial equity team, and they have kind of a mutual advisory capacity with the Human Rights Commission, so we'll be working to expand how that commission evaluates certain equity complaints within the city of La Crosse, and that's a process that's in the works.
Well, Mayor Reynolds, thank you for joining us.
I really appreciate it, Kate. Thanks so much.
Mitch Reynolds, mayor of La Crosse, elected last April. Ahead this hour, we explore legislation that would end life sentences for juveniles. What do you think about sentencing teens to life in prison? Should Wisconsin law change? 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.